We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Don't sweat the technique. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Shai Gilgeous Alexander, MVP. This marks seven straight MVPs that are international players. You have to go all the way back to?
God, who was the last one?
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
It's James Harden.
Oh, really?
Yep, 2017-18 season. Last American-born player to win the MVP in the NBA was James Harden. You've had Giannis. Giannis won the next two after that. The Joker won the next two after that. Embiid won one. Joker won his third, and then SGA won the most recent. What does this say anything about, you know, international hoops? Not necessarily Euro hoops, but international hoops, and does it say anything about American hoops?
Yeah, I think it does. And I think I've been on this soapbox a couple of times before and on this station definitely over the years about the fact that, one, you can give credit to the European leagues for getting better. You can give credit to the European players that continue to get better and better. This is a huge indication because I saw a lot of people really upset about this and a lot of people pointing fingers at this and questioning everything. I think AAU basketball is the most corrupt system in all of sports. I think it's one of the most corrupt bodies of work in all of business as well. But from the standpoint of how it relates to basketball, all we're seeing in terms of the development of American basketball players is, and it's not, it's also being fueled by now with NIL and paying players in high school and all the different things that are going on. It's just encouraging the very thing that keeps players from playing the basketball the way it was meant to be played. It's all about individuals. It's about eyes, not teams. There's an M and an E, and it's everything associated with them. And as kids show that they have basketball ability as they're coming up, the problem is that they're told everywhere that they go, hey, come play with us. We'll give you the ball and get out of the way. And we're just going to let you do your thing. And doing your thing doesn't involve working on your shot to make free throws and, you know, working on team basketball to understand defense and offense and systems and all these things. And along the way, everybody's in it for themselves. Coaches are trying to make money so they can get better coaching jobs. Players are trying to get noticed and get money along the way so that their NIL deals develop, so that they can get to the highest level quicker. The problem is, by the time they get to the highest level, their ability to be fundamentally sound and play the way they play on the highest level, it's totally different than what they've been through throughout their entire basketball career. And so you have to look in the mirror and you have to look within the system and the way the system is operating right now here in this country before you have any kind of disdain or problem with the fact that Euros keep winning these MVPs and these accolades, because it's right here within the ranks of how these kids are being raised.
Well, SGA wasn't Euro.
He's Canadian. I understand that. But I'm just saying, as a lot of people losing their mind all over social media and all over the place about, you know, the travesty that is. This is all, to me, it all correlates back to the fact that the system's broken with AAU basketball.
I feel like you're overselling it a bit.
I don't care.
Well, just for the sake of conversation, yeah. I'll tell you why. I'm not an AAU guy either. Like, I'm not a massive fan of it. Like, I don't mind that they're playing. I'm curious why you think it's corrupt.
Oh, my God, Jeremy. I mean, before any of this became somewhat legal in terms of they're buying these kids off with money under the table. They're buying these kids off with shoe deals and travel promises and promises for scholarships and everything else. And it's a competition where you get the owners that it's part of the kind of the bragging rights of the owners that are running a lot of these teams. I got to have that kid, and I'm in competition with, you know, this guy who owns this team, and so I'm going to do everything I can to make sure this kid plays for me. Okay. And my buddies coach in it, and some of my buddies actually own teams in it, and it just gets worse by the day.
Yeah, I don't really like follow like the that closely. So I mean, pardon my ignorance. I don't really know the dirty side of it. How is it different in Europe whenever they're developing players and stuff? Like, don't they have clubs as well, also like using ways to attract young players?
But here's the thing: the way they're being developed is, and this goes back to Yao and some of the European players that I have personal experience with. But when players start to get good, the first thing that they're doing is they're spending a majority of their time working on fundamentals, working on not only individual fundamentals from like shooting and shooting technique and free throws and you know, all the things that are essential in terms of the game, but then understanding the game itself from, you know, the passing and the cutting and the picking and the running of plays. And as you and I talk about things from, you know, helping the helper defensively and switches to like the kind of offense that you're running, motion offenses and pick and roll offenses and pick, you know, high picket fence running, high pick and roll screens, things like that. And then along the way, as they continue to develop, yes, then they're starting to be put into these leagues. But the leagues are running these systems too, whereas the kids in America are basically wherever they go. I mean, from the time now before they even pick a high school, there are people recruiting them, both AAU and now high schools are giving scholarships to try and get kids to play for them. And the first thing they're told is, we're going to give you the ball and get out of the way. We're going to make sure that you get the best chance to show your skills and put everything on display. And then they go to a college. If they go to a college for 1 year, or now they're getting paid just to go to the G League or go somewhere else. And it's not system run either. They're going to tell them the same thing. We'll give you the ball and get out of the way. And then, you know, it'll be an easier path for you to get to the lottery or to the NBA. And then it's the culture shock, which I've seen way too many times, of a guy that finally gets to the league and goes, whoa, you know, now I'm being, you know, you look at some of these guys that we're talking about in terms of like Cam Whitmore's and guys like that that get to the league and have been successful just getting the ball and getting out of the way. I think Jalen went through this to some extent. And then all of a sudden the reality hits of, oh my God, if I don't play defense and I don't play this system and pass the ball here and do these kind of things, I might not play. That's not what I'm used to. That's not what I'm supposed to accept or tolerate. And that's what you see a lot of cases. It's a culture shock of, what are you talking about that I've got to pass the ball up or give up a good shot to get a better shot or play defense on every possession? These are things that are like all of a sudden like a shot of reality for a lot of these kids.
Yeah, I would agree that the development of the young American basketball player isn't ideal. I don't think it's the best at developing, but I do think you're overselling it some. I'll give you my pushback on the other side. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Texture, they can go pro at 14 overseas. That does help the development. You get it with a pro club, that's going to help you for sure. They're giving them the MVP, but how many besides Jokic was finals MVP? Americans are winning the championships.
Giannis, Jokic.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them in the same year.
So, like, I agree with your like your premise. I think that the Americans, you know, the American youth development for basketball could be far better. And I wouldn't push back at, you know, the European model being better. Now, I wouldn't include Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like, really with the international mold. Like, he moved to America to play high school ball. Mm-hmm. He played AAU. So, like, SGA wouldn't be a good example of, like, you know, the previous six would be pretty good argument. Although, not really Embiid. Embiid moved to America when he was 16 to to focus on basketball. And he went to Mount Verde Academy, which is, you know, one of the better basketball high schools, at least it used to be. So I think you can kind of pick holes at it. Now, like, the American player is still very good. Mm-hmm. Like, they're doing just fine. Like, yes, they haven't won any of the last seven MVPs, and some other international players are, which I think is a good thing for the NBA becoming more global. Like, you got a bigger pool. And Hakeem Olajuwon's actually given a lot of credit for building international players a lot, especially in Africa. They do the NBA Global Academy there, and Hakeem was very big getting that thing started and off the ground. And, you know, he's a hero to a lot of those players that come from there. But, you just pull up this year's MVP voting. Jason Tatum was fourth. Donovan Mitchell was five. LeBron James was six. Cade Cunningham was seven. Anthony Edwards was eight. So it's not like the American system isn't putting out really good players.
Right, but you're talking about the top three or four.
It was top eight.
Top
three were all internationals.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, all internationals. But the reason why this all came up to me and really kind of struck a nerve is because people in the United States are complaining about the fact that and pointing out the fact that, you know, this is something, and they don't like the fact that European players are, you know, quote unquote, taking over the league. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they're taking over the league, but at the same time, I mean, if you want to point a finger at the problem, I wouldn't be mad at the European leagues and the way that the European players are being developed or where they're being drafted. I'd be mad that my own systems being used and in place to develop my own talent here in the United States is slipping, is depriving these kids of the kind of skill sets that they could be developing if they were coached better, if there was a better system in play to some degree.
SGA did the system.
You're going to sit on one thing with SGA, but I'm talking about
overall.
No, but
you're sitting on that thing, though. You're sitting on the MVPs. Like, you're pointing at the last
seven
MVPs.
Jeremy, you just went to the MVP voting and said you started with Tatum.
Blankers, your argument was MVPs.
No, I'm saying that's what triggered me. But then the fact that people are oblivious to the fact or don't want to point out the fact that the crux of this, where the majority of this starts, is with how these kids are being developed. And AAU, like I said, it's the people that own the teams, coach the teams. They're all looking out for themselves too. Now,
but why would players move to America to play in AAU in American high school basketball to improve their development then?
Because at the end game still is the United States best league, which is the NBA, which is the best league in the world. So, of course, no matter what they do in the EuroLeague, the money is here. Foremost,
they're moving whenever they're kids.
Because they're starting as quickly as they can once they get that first initial fundamentals and skill set development that they get when they're starting out in Europe. And then when they get here, their objective is, I'm going to cash in. I'm going to cash in. And because of the fact that I'm fundamentally sound and I'm developed as well as have skill, that I'm going to be able to leapfrog and or be a key component in being that next wave of up-and-coming basketball players that get noticed, get paid, and get to the league.
Okay. Who's complaining about it?
I mean,
I haven't really seen it.
I mean, it's been on Twitter. I've seen it all over Twitter. I've seen people, even throughout some of the broadcasts that are talking about it, that are saying, like, you know, is this a big problem? I don't think it's a big problem from a European perspective. I don't think any of the negativity should be directed overseas. I think it should be more so of a wake-up call within the United States to say, look, I get it, and I'm a firm believer that especially like the college kids, when we got into NIL and things like that, that they if there's the jerseys that are being sold and they're not getting a penny off of it and universities are making millions and millions of dollars, then it's broken. But I also think the system currently is broken. And, yeah, you can point at colleges with the fact that between NIL and the transfer portal, it's broken. But from a basketball-centric perspective, it has been a hot button of mine for years and years, and it's gotten worse about how little talented players are being developed to prepare themselves for the eventual chance to play in the NBA and or even on top college programs, as opposed to just make it all about themselves and be the next version of the Sports Center generation that – feel like they're only impacting a game when they score points. And the only way that any team can get them is to give. That's why I commend Kelvin Sampson so much for the way he does it, because he hasn't changed. He's still going to coach them hard. He's still going to have tough love. He's still going to get on them. More coaches than not don't want to offend and are treating kids like superstars, even in junior high school, because it's to their benefit so they won't do the way that basketball should be done.
What's your fix?
I think it's too long to get into, especially where we are. But I think, you know, from an NIL and collegiate standpoint, that's one thing. From an AAU perspective, you have to – maybe this is some of what you brought up. Basketball without borders has been there forever as the NBA tries to broaden out and get overseas and do more. And it's phenomenal. It's been a great working program. At the same time, maybe it takes the NBA, the end-all be-all for where a lot of these kids want to go, to come in and get in more from the grassroots, from the perspective of, hey, we're going to get involved in some of these leagues. We're going to create our own leagues that maybe are compete with AAU. But in the process, what we're going to do is play the NBA more the NBA style of ball. We're going to teach you to play defense. We're going to teach you some of the things that become bigger as you become better, as you want to get to the league, instead of just giving you the ball, getting out of the way and saying, hey, learn how to play isolation basketball. It's the key to getting everything.
Quick question. Do either of y'all think that them using the G League as more of like a minor league system than they have so far, because, you know, players' ages, they're able to play longer into their careers nowadays. Do you think them leaning more on the G League could help fix this issue?
I mean, it's a problem because the G League is understanding and conforming to some degree when they you can take your best player on a G League team and pay him $500,000. So I think that it has to start earlier than that. It has to start as you look at where the system is broken, and now know that high schools are giving scholarships, NIL is allowing and affording them to pay kids in high school to come play for them, that you've got to nip it from where the system is running amok, and I think that's where it starts.
Yeah, it can't be whenever, you know, because Embiid and SGA moved here when they were roughly 16 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, your point is they've already been developed with, like, fundamentals and stuff before they ever did that. No, I'm with you on that. Like, I do think that the development of what we're seeing with young basketball players is not the best, is not good. Now, the Americans are going to produce players no matter what because they're American players, and it is that. I don't really mind. I didn't even know that seven straight international players won the MVP. I had no idea because I don't care. Like, I couldn't care less who wins the MVP. I couldn't care less the percentages of international players versus American players. You know what I care about? I care about good ball. Like, I care about watching good players go up against good players. So I don't care about how many Americans, internationals are in the NBA. I don't care about how many Americans are in Major League Baseball. That's never been something that really popped on my radar.
No, and I'm not saying I noticed it because it was being brought up on Twitter.
And
it was being called out. But I think that it's kind of like, if I can use the analogy of taking you and I back to when we first started the show when Steven Silas was coaching the Rockets. It's unwatchable. If you go to some of these tournament games, sure, if you want to go see one of the next rising prospects in the United States, go. But if you're going to watch quality basketball and you're going to watch basketball the way it's going to be played, at least to a large degree when you get to the NBA, you're not going to see it at AAU tournaments. You're not going to see it in a lot of places because of the fact that everyone's tiptoeing around the fact that they just want to be noticed. They want to get their bag, and they want to make sure they don't ruffle the feathers of anyone that might be their meal ticket.
Texter says, show has turned into angry black men venting hour. Blankers isn't black. So that would poke a hole in that argument. 8 billion people on Earth, only 340 million are Americans. Of course, there will be great foreign players. Yeah, I mean, now talking through it, Blanker's point is more about young player development in America.
Yep.
I'm afraid that there is no fix. I think it's gone too far. Because, like, you see this in baseball a little bit, too, where they have all these select clubs and, you know, like, that is corrupt as well. Like, you know, and it's daddy ball, and they're not teaching fundamentals, and they care way too much about winning a 10-under weekend tournament than they care about the development of young players. And it's really similar on the basketball side of things. And they try to put in, like, MLB stuff, like, throughout some inner cities and around, like, major cities, and it's just never, ever going to gain traction. Like, you're never going to get a bunch of really good players. You might get one or two, but never, like, the bulk of the really good players, because the AAU or select ball is just far bigger than that will ever be. I'm afraid that it's already gone too far, and there's no way to put the toothpaste back in the tooth tub, or whatever it's called.
You know what? And it's going to be tough because of the fact, like, to kind of reiterate on what you were saying about why the European players coming over here, too, because the best competition in their mind is still, you know, played here in the United States. And because there's so many like-minded European players, just like there's so many like-minded players in the United States that believe the best competition for the sport is here in this country. Mm-hmm. It's just how you develop it and then how you kind of structure it. And there is no structure right now. It's everything running amok, and it's all about everybody fending for themselves to try and get theirs. And in the process, the product is suffering. And it's like,
no. Yeah, you're right.
We have some of the best examples of this. I mentioned Kelvin, but look at Udoka too, because Udoka is one of those no-nonsense guys, which is rare and hard to find these days, of a guy that's basically saying, if you don't play both ends of the floor, you won't play for me. We need more of those coaches, and yeah. We need those coaches to have the power empowerment to be able to get away with it.
And there's molding that goes on there too, right? Like, sure. You are recruiting a player that is good and like someone who can fit into what you're building, your culture and your style and all of that. But it's also, okay, I envision he can become that, and I have to mold him into being that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the great coaches and the coaches that you mentioned excel, is they see that the player has the potential to be molded into that. They're coachable. They can take all that and then become that player that you're mentioning. And I think that's why those programs, and Houston is one of them, sorry, go Cougs, mm-hmm. Whenever their players are drafted, like, they're more NBA ready of like fitting into a team because they have those fundamentals. They have a team first mentality. It's not all about, okay, I'm only going to impact winning by scoring. I can impact winning by playing really good defense. I can impact winning by making a good pass. I can impact winning by rebounding the basketball. So you do see that development. And to your point, it starts with some coaches, not all coaches. It's starting at a way older age than international players, and they just have a better foundation.
Yeah, and look, I think that part of this too is what we're talking about, and where coaches need to realize the really good players appreciate coaches that coach them, that aren't afraid to tell them what they need to hear. And a lot of cases, look, the players never forget those coaches, and they'll take care of those guys too. The problem is that from a college perspective, a lot of the colleges are going, hey, what are the best AAU programs that are getting these best players in the country, and how are they doing it? Well, if they're doing it there, they can do it for my program, because we can back them financially and give them the means to go out and keep doing this on a larger scale, and now our school can get these players.
Yeah.
And that's a problem in itself, because you see too many guys that are trying to hitch their wagon to a guy that's going to be in the NBA someday going, hey, if I coddle this kid, he's going to take care of me along the way too. There's no promises of that. And I commend the players that have taken their longtime coaches that were tough on them, mm-hmm. and brought them along the way.
No, there's more instant satisfaction than long-term game. Mm-hmm. Like that's true in almost everything. And it is sad. I agree with that. 713-780-ESPN. Let's play Who Said It when we come back. I kicked it down the road as far as I could. But Who Said It when we return? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. Tremac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
Who said it? Everybody's favorite game. I am locked in, though, because if we get all of them right, we retire this thing. So let's go. Question number one, Brian, what we got?
All right, quote number one. Would be nice if we had less, you know, like Chevy Malibus and Toyota Corollas, and no offense to the people driving those cars, but I feel like there's an inordinate amount of cars that look like that, that have like spoilers for no reason, that are speeding on the highway. I don't really like that kind of thing. I just don't.
First thought was Lance or Dell. I don't know what that takes you to. I'm trying to think of like the context of where this got started, but
yeah, can we have it again?
Yeah, one more time, Brian.
Sorry.
Sure. Would be nice if we had less, you know, like Chevy Malibus and Toyota Corollas, and no offense to people driving those cars, but I feel like there's an inordinate amount of cars that look like that, that have, like, spoilers for no reason, that are speeding on the highway. I don't really like that kind of thing. I just don't.
I'll say this. I have a late ad based on the second read of it. You ever seen Paul Drive?
No, but it sounds like Paul to me because it's kind of a pretentious take.
And by the way, you want to talk about the 9-3 technique on the wheel and the absolute, like, looking like the only intention possible is to keep my eyes on the road. I've driven back next to Paul on the way from a remote, and I was like, oh my goodness, it's like someone in their 70s is driving.
He drives like a grandma.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes he kind of talks like a grandma from like New York.
Yeah,
I think it's like real high pitched.
Second time he read it, it's Paul. I definitely could hear Paul.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
All right, let's go.
Would be nice if we had less.
Boom.
Chevy Malibus,
four more to glory.
So, no offense to the people.
Four more to never playing this game.
Quote
ever
number
again.
Two. Quote number two. I don't like that he's got two syllables in his first name and two syllables in his last. Colton Gordon. It doesn't sound right. He should be Colt Gordon or Colt Gordinsky or something like that.
I heard Lance.
Yeah, I heard Lance too. It can't be somebody that I started to think in my head. It can't be somebody who has two syllable first name, two syllable last name. But we got John, Lance, Dell, and Paul. So
yeah,
that eliminates that theory altogether because no one has that name.
The Gordinsky. I heard the Gordinsky and heard I could hear Lance saying that.
That
right
was my first thought.
Let's go.
I don't like that he's got two syllables. Colton Gordon. Colton Gordon.
You're on the right track, but the segment lives.
Gordinsky? Oh, you're happy. Yeah.
Gordinsky said definitely.
I wanted to hear John say that. I just couldn't see John saying that.
Yeah, Gordinsky doesn't sound like something he would say. I don't feel like John uses a lot of Z's.
I don't know about that. I think I could hear Lance kind of doing the chuckle after the Gordinsky.
Lance strikes me more as a
Z
guy.
The way he played on the name does sound like Lance. I can see
and then
the
normally he
process.
Would throw some kind of bad impression of a guy that would say Gordinsky.
100%. He would have turned it into like a Russian or
something.
Yes,
he would.
Yeah. All right. Quote number three. Why does everyone think that, like, why does Giannis need to go to the Spurs? That's a trash-ass city. He doesn't need to go to the Spurs. So many mosquitoes there. The Riverwalk's overrated.
Man.
I hear Lance and Paul again. Maybe Dell, but no.
I think more... No, I don't think it's Dell.
You're going to bang on San Antonio and go to the mosquitoes?
That's why it sounds like a Lance.
Yeah.
Take. Like, it sounds like an old man take. Like, I don't think Paul would care about the mosquitoes. Like, Paul is pretty one-track minded.
I think it's between those two, but yeah.
If the is good, he doesn't care about the mosquitoes.
So you want to go Lance?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Why does everyone think that?
There you go.
Okay. Like, why does Giannis need to go to the Spurs?
I mean, might as well win it now that we're here.
On the line. Get this one,
happy.
And it'll be a win for you guys. All right, quote number four.
Do you think the Riverwalk's overrated?
Yes.
I like the Riverwalk.
I do, too.
But I can like it, and it could still be overrated. Like, I think the food is overrated.
I agree with that. I don't think the food's good. I never eat on the Riverwalk.
Yeah.
But I enjoy a stroll around the Riverwalk.
The problem is, like, no offense, but in San Antonio, that's about the only one of the only things to do. There's not a whole hell of a lot to do in San Antonio that's happening.
Sounds pretty offensive.
And it used to be a lot more happening than it is right now. But from a touristy standpoint, maybe that's the problem. That's where everybody goes.
But certainly where everyone goes.
Yeah, because I agree with you guys. The food's not great.
No, you have to go away from the Riverwalk. Yep. There's good food in San Antonio, but it's not on the Riverwalk.
Yep.
It's good really golf good in, San in San Antonio. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, there is.
All right, quote number four.
Let's do it.
D'Amico spoke and said that Justin Watson was the standout of the new additions. That better change. I know he hasn't had a lot of work with the drafted guys, but that cannot continue. And I don't need for the previews, those magazines for Justin Watson to be a key addition. I don't need that either. I think he needs to be a footnote, maybe.
Dell or Paul?
He hasn't even seen Justin Watson work. He's seen him in the building.
Good point. Good point. He's seen the rookies more than he's seen Justin Watson.
Yeah, he hasn't even seen Justin Watson run around on a football field. He's seen him walk through the meeting rooms into the gym.
You know, they keep bragging about how many guys have been, working out there every day. So he gets to see him, what his bench press and squat is.
Yeah, I think it's either Dell or Paul. Because I think Lance and Granato, wouldn't be like, whatever, that's not a big deal.
Yep.
I think they would big league that topic, which I would too. I lean more Dell.
I do too. Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that one, he hasn't used him yet, but two, I kind of felt more Dell than Paul on that one, because Paul's pretty, I mean, that's his A game, is football.
Yeah, plus just like the magazine and footnote stuff, like, sounds Dell-ish to me.
Okay.
Let's do it.
D'Amico spoke and said, ooh, that just
we win! Yeah. Congratulations, boys.
That I don't know if change. I want to go 4-1, though, because I'm going to be disgusted.
Well, I do.
Jeremy's just going
to
piling like
on the positives
the
to win is my game.
History.
Yeah, but if we don't, I really don't care unless we go 5-0. But
I understand where you're coming from. I'm very clear on your stance.
All right, well, here we go. Let's find out if you guys go 4-1. Quote number 5. I mean, Tiger Woods was cool from this perspective. Tiger Woods was a jack golfer. I mean, we never really seen that before, because every golfer looks like they could be somebody who's 10-year-old's father. But I just got that vibe from every golfer before Tiger Woods.
He said he was a what golfer?
Jacked.
Oh, jacked.
Yeah, jacked.
He was Israel's favorite golfer. Because he was good, not because he was
right.
Because he's actually half Asian. The Kabbalah Asian.
Yeah. That's what the first logo was derived from.
I believe that belongs to Pendergast.
Yeah, Pendergast was the Kabbalah Asian. He won. How many did he win?
5.
He won 5?
Yep, 5 smack offs.
I thought it was like 2 or 3. He won 5?
Oh, no, yeah. 5 times.
Nationally?
5 times. Yeah,
for Rome.
So the Rome thing?
So he's the greatest ever, huh?
I think someone tied him. I can't.
Somebody has 5 with him?
I believe so. I'd have to double check it.
I didn't realize that was like the national thing. I thought he won like some local version.
No, was with Jim Rome.
Wow. That's how he got attracted to, or he became attractive to, was it Chance?
Was
Chance the first
PD
of 1560?
Yeah. But that's basically what got him the job.
I think John had saying it, whether he was or not. Yeah.
That's why he became like a focal point of the game. Yeah, 1560.
I didn't realize that.
Because I didn't realize it was 5, though. Sheesh. The Kabbalah Asian. So good.
Yeah.
This one, maybe. I think this is Paul.
There's a chance. One more time, Brian, please.
I mean, Tiger Woods was cool from this perspective. Tiger Woods was a jack golfer. I mean, we'd never really seen that before, because every golfer looks like they could be somebody who's 10-year-old's father. But I just got that vibe from every golfer before Tiger Woods.
Is he saying jacked funny, or is it just me?
Jacked?
Maybe it's just me.
After all, it is Pena.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do just pronounce things from time to time.
I don't think Granato would be like, Tiger's cool because he was jacked. Granato's going to think he was cool because he won all the majors.
Yep.
Could potentially be Lance. He's a little disrespectful to golf.
Yeah, he likes his frisbee golf.
Yeah.
Or disc. Excuse me. Don't disrespect it. Disc golf.
I think it's either Lance
or Paul.
What's
the difference?
What's the difference between golf and disc golf?
No, disc golf and frisbee golf.
Frisbee is somehow derogatory towards disc golfers.
Just putting it down.
Because you use multiple discs, Brian, like multiple clubs. Mm. It's not just one frisbee.
Okay, whatever.
It's just trash pretentious. It's a pretentious tag for disc golfers.
Yes. I definitely don't think it's John. I heard either Paul. I don't know that Dell would even care enough to have that much of a take.
Same.
Yeah,
same.
So it's probably either Paul or Lance.
You call it.
Were you leaning in one way or the other?
I was leaning
Paul?
More. Yeah, but I mean, I really don't care about question 5 since we already won and
right.
We can't go 5-0, so.
Yeah, we'll go Paul. That's fine.
I mean, Tiger Woods was cool from this perspective. 4-1.
That was pretty good. That was a pretty good performance.
I mean, yeah.
So what was the one we got wrong?
It was the one from Granato.
We said it was
Colton
Lance
Gordon.
And it was John.
Man, yeah. We were close.
You were close.
I feel like Ricky Bobby here. Unless you go 5-0, everything else
you
is
ain't
first loser.
You last.
Yeah. 5-0. Anything below 5-0 is a failure for me.
I know.
I'm going to think about this all weekend, and it's a 3-day weekend, too. So it's not the taste is never going to leave my mouth till Tuesday. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Car wreck of the day. What is your nominee for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Loot and Raid rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! I'll give you a f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the Car Wreck of the Day.
Car Wrecks of the Day, 713-780-ESPN. Get them in. Coming up at 7 o'clock, the first ever Smokin' and Toastin'. The series premiere of Smokin' and Toastin' coming up at 7 o'clock. So make sure you're tuning into that. Early Car Wreck of the Day nominee from AV said Brian for making his play Who Said It, which I doubled down on.
You sure you didn't text that in yourself?
Yeah. Plus, no, AV likes, did that.
Alex likes to take any shot he can at Brian.
He does. He said you had several nominations, but that's the only one he listed. So,
yeah. Man.
What do you got?
I mean, you know, because you love college baseball. Did you see this collision in the Ole Miss-Arkansas game?
Actually, I did. Yeah, I was looking at it a little earlier.
Oh, boy.
That was nasty.
That is a car wreck. And thankfully, at least to this point, no one was seriously hurt. If you haven't seen it, I retweeted it. But my goodness, that's a scary. The two outfielders going full speed hit each other like a football play. Woo, that was frightening.
So you saw the it looked like the center fielder like lost consciousness. It looked like he blacked out. Well, he was okay?
Yeah, well, I mean, from what I saw in some of the reports and some of the people that were covering the game, that there wasn't a serious injury, but like that doesn't mean that there can't be a concussion or something. When I saw the replay I saw, the guy you're talking about was rolling over and like rubbing his ribs and things, but I didn't see if maybe he initially was knocked out. The other guy limped to the ball and threw it back, but man, yeah. that was tough stuff.
Yeah, that was one of the most gnarly collisions I've seen.
Did somebody ignore the other one calling them off? What happened on the play?
It's a ball in the gap in right center, and both guys are going full tilt after it. So I don't know if you're just so intent on focused on the ball, you're not listening, and they're going. But they just hit like a football play.
I mean, they're full sprint on it was kind of a line drive. Mm-hmm. Like it's not really one where you think the other guy's going to be there, probably, because it would have been a tough play for you. I mean, I don't know how you avoid it.
For really. Brian, when he's using his closing speed before getting to bat leadoff.
Yeah, I mean, he was in no man's land in right center, like perfectly in between the two of them. I mean, the center fielder went limp. I mean, he got knocked out.
Yeah, it's
I was watching it.
Yeah, you're right. Initially, when he hits the ground, he might be out and then regains consciousness shortly after, but that is a scary collision.
Yeah, that's the scariest collision I've seen.
I'd agree.
The Yordan Pena one was pretty scary, but like they were pretty mobile pretty quickly. Like this guy went out. He went to sleep.
Yeah, this one, even the Yordan Pena one, to me, I was kind of like, okay, I guess, you know, you got hit in the head or whatever. This one is like I'm a football player going across the middle on a defenseless receiver play. That's in baseball with no pads on or helmet. Wow.
Yeah. I want to nominate Britney Spears.
What'd she do?
It's Britney, bitch.
Yeah, I'm going to nominate her. She was on a, I think it was a charter, it had to be a charter flight. She's not flying commercial. But she was flying back home, it looked like. And she started drinking a little bit, which that's all right. No big deal there. But then she lit up a cigarette. And you can't do that on flights anymore, Britney. You're behind your time? Would that be the way to say it?
It's Britney, bitch.
She's not ahead of her time. She's behind her time. Because you could get away with that in the 70s.
But if she's flying private, she can do what she wants.
No, I don't know. You can't. I don't think you could fly. I don't think you could smoke on any plane, even if it's private. I think it's against FAA regulations. That's why it's in the news.
Okay. All right. I've just
somebody ratted on her.
Yeah,
that's
I'm not
cool.
I'm not ratting on anybody, but I don't know when that rule came into play or if they're enforcing it stricter now, but I know that it's been done.
When was the last time you saw somebody light up a cigarette on a private plane?
Probably 11 or so years ago.
Huh. Google says you can smoke on a private jet. So I guess she was on a plane that doesn't allow it. Why is this news then?
I mean, if it's a commercial plane, maybe because of the fact that the conservancy or whatever her dad was doing, maybe she didn't have the money private plane.
That's gone now.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a private flight.
Then I don't understand.
Why are they letting Britney be Britney?
Now we needed to leave Britney alone drop.
Maybe it was just that specific charter plane didn't allow it.
Maybe the pilot can make the ultimate ruling?
He's the captain.
Yeah.
That must be what it was, Blankers. It must have been this specific private plane had some local rules.
Probably, yeah.
And Britney's out here breaking the local rules. Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. Angel Reese,
yes.
She's car wreck of the day. She was in her first two games, she's 5-for-22 with 10 turnovers, and she has the lowest plus-minus in the WNBA. Angel Reese, my car wreck of the day.
Going to set a self-rebounding record, though, so she's got that going for her.
She's like Moses Malone, who can't score.
She was. If we got to it and we needed more, that was one of mine. On that one play, she misses six shots, rebounds it six times, and then finally, I think she scored. No, well, she kicked it out for an assist, too.
There was an ESPN notification that went out that she apparently was 0 for 7 from inside 4 feet, which was a record. The other night. So.
She's 0 for 7 within 4 feet?
Yeah, 0 for 7 within 4 feet.
Oh, my goodness. Why can't she score? She can't finish. And she's like, oh, yeah, we deserve all this money. Can't score from 4 feet? You don't deserve anything. What was I going to say? Oh, you know who I felt bad for on that play where she got like 6 offensive rebounds? The poor shot clock operator.
Yeah.
Like, you could see it. Like, he was like, okay, it's 24. Oh, wait, it's an offensive rebound. I got to click 14. Another offensive rebound, 24. Got to click to 14. Like, the dude was overworked, whoever's operating the shot clock.
She got 6 boards and a dime. She got 6 boards and an assist on one possession.
That's incredible.
And 6 missed shots.
6 chance points. They're big for the – what team did she play for?
Chicago Sky.
There you go. The Chicago Sky are a team that lives with the 6 chance points.
Jeez.
That's what they say about them.
I mean, I've heard of NBA players free throw grifting. I didn't know rebound grifting was a thing, but Angel Reese is – putting into existence.
What did you say? Rebound grifting?
Yeah, grifting. Like, people accuse SGA and other players of free throw grifting, like causing contact and like stealing free throws when they shouldn't be there.
Have you heard of this term, Blankers?
Grifting?
Never.
No, I've never heard of grifting.
Free throw grifting.
Well, I just... Okay.
Where have you seen this? Where have you seen grifting?
Are you asking me or Joel?
Blankers has never heard it.
I didn't bring it up. I've never heard of it.
No, I've heard people use it online, and I've heard Dell say it. I've heard Paul say it.
Do you belong to?
Sorry?
What message boards do you belong to?
I'm not on any message board.
Is this a Reddit thing?
No, I mean, like I just said, I've heard Sean, Dell, and Paul all say it,
too. So you have to be under 30 to use this term.
Well, Dell and Paul aren't under 30.
I've never heard the word grifting.
You've never heard the word grifting?
Not used in a sports term.
Wasn't there a movie called Grifters?
Yeah, yeah. It just means you're stealing it. That's all it means.
Engage in petty or small-scale swindling. Rebound grifting. Huh. All right. What is yours, Brian?
I'll quickly go with the Eric phone call. That was an adventure.
Who is your stage manager? That's not what he said. What did he say? Station manager.
Station manager. Car wreck of the day.
Yep.
Give me your state. It felt like Chris Everett getting on to Jim Rome. You're going to have to take a station break. Give me your station manager. All right, what's winning?
I don't care. You guys call it.
Eric's pretty good.
That's fine.
He's a listener to the show. He's got to get the full experience.
Well, he's going
to
really be now.
Eric wins car wreck of the day. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian and Ryan for their hard work. He's Blank on Branham. We'll talk to you on Tuesday. Just keep it here. Smoking and toasting coming up at 7. Good night, everybody.
Goodbye.
ESPN 97.5.